Blue unveils the Yeti Nano, and more coming up on today's episode of the Latest in Tech News podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Latest in Tech News podcast. Indeed, let's go. Thanks for the host, Alan. Appreciate it. I am your host, Taylor Merrick. This is the world's only 3-in-1 daily show on everything tech, gadgets, and gaming news. And if you're new here, welcome. Feel free to chat with us during the show. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you're listening to the podcast, welcome as well. Be sure to hit that subscribe button if you so desire so that you can be notified the next time an episode goes live, which is usually about every day. But you really should be joining us over at mixer.com/technewsgadget, where we do the live show that's going on right now. And if you're watching us live, hey, hit that follow button if you haven't already. We are also on Twitter at TechNewsGadget, where you can send us your questions, rants, or suggestions, both during or after the show. Octavius would prefer it after the show, because he's kind of trying to figure out this new polling system that apparently we have in Mixer. Didn't know about it, so Octavius is trying to figure that out. For those of you who don't know, Octavius is my pet octopus. He moderates the chat room and generally keeps me from going crazy. And he's just chilling right now, having a good old time. So, see if I can get this out of the way really quick. Indeed. Today, before we can get to today's tech news, let's take a look back on this day in history. Today is August 28th, 2018, and on this day in history, in 2009, Apple releases Snow Leopard for their Macintosh computers. Snow Leopard was an important release, as it was the first to drop support for PowerPC-based Macs and focus optimization for the Intel processor-based Macs. The networking protocol that Apple had used since the 1980s, AppleTalk, was also discontinued in Snow Leopard. AppleTalk was the first true plug-and-play networking protocol, and during its heyday in the late 80s, AppleTalk was the most widely used networking protocol in the world. Moving on, there wasn't really much that happened today in history, but moving on to facts that you may or may not know, did you know that surgeons who grew up playing video games make 37% fewer mistakes? Something to think about. Did you know that the astronauts of Apollo 11 couldn't get life insurance, so instead they signed photos that their families could auction in case the landing went wrong? Who would have thought? And did you know that in mobile games, 60% of all revenue comes from only 0.23% of players? Also, when signing up to iTunes, if you accept their terms and conditions, you agree to not use it to make nuclear weapons. Now, whether that's still the case or not, I don't know. You might have to look through the updated terms and conditions to see if you are abiding by it or not, because, man, I'd hate for you not to be abiding by that. And finally, did you know that 2.1 million people still use AOL 56K dial-up in the U.S.? What is going on with those people? I don't know. Wife is running around feeding our niece, who's currently starving. She's a baby. She'll live. She needed a bib. Our niece needed a bib. So, don't worry about that. Moving on. What you may not know is, let's see if I can swap this over here. Weird Al just got his star on the Walk of Fame, and that's what we're looking at right now. For those of you who are listening to the audio version, you really should be getting a video version of this. Information on that can be found at patreon.com/technewsgadget, but yes, Weird Al Yankovic, for those of you who don't know who he is, I'm not sure how you live in this world without not knowing who he is. He basically makes parodies of songs and has been doing so for many decades. But he finally got a star on the Walk of Fame. Also, doors tend to be confusing, especially when you don't know how they operate. This dude decided to just walk right into it, open it, close it, and now I think he's confused. Interesting. I think he's trying to figure out how to use automatic doors. Not really the greatest, human specimen, but, you know, when they don't really tell you how the doors work, not your fault if you don't know how they work. And finally, this tool right here can put all the lug nuts into, well, putting on a tire all at once. What does it have? Like five? Man, you just screwed it all in. Now you don't have to do it manually by hand, one at a time, or get a tool and wrench your arm out. You can now have a tool do it for you. We are going forward with technology. Very proud of that. How much this is retailing for? I'm not sure. Also, this gadget apparently can also cross-thread all at once as well. So something to keep in mind. So, with that under wraps, let's get to today's tech headlines. First up, for those of you who are a gearhead, this has a little bit of technology related to it. People are wondering if the 2019 BMW Z4 is actually a good investment or not. The BMW had the unfortunate luck of images leaking at least 3 times, so people already had a good idea about how it was going to look and had already formed their own opinion on it. But now it's officially here. So does it look good, or did BMW overdo it? They leaked it out back in June with leaked patent drawings, and the commentators really tore it a new one when real photos of the car leaked earlier this month, but let's take a look. Most people are making a big deal about two things right now. The first is that BMW has vertically stacked the iconic BMW double headlight motif, which pushes the headlights both higher and deeper into the hood. The second is the kidney grills, which don't have a vertical, solid slats. Motor Trend compared the new kidneys to the Kia Stinger's look, which is probably good for the Kia, but not so much for the BMW. Those of you car fanatics know what I'm talking about. While the car is a softer, rounder result of the concept that previewed it, it's still proportioned well, stands out from the rest of the BMW lineup, and it even reflects the sportier approach BMW claims that they're going after. It's just upsetting it's not clear whether or not a manual option will be offered when it comes to drive. Did BMW nail it? Let me know in the chat, guys. Showing off some more photos here. Or you can let us know on Twitter, at TechNewsGadget. Moving on. Blue's Yeti Nano was finally released. It's built for simple, high-quality desktop recording. Now, when it comes to podcasting and live streaming, USB microphones are a great option due to their plug-and-play design, and I have one myself. Perhaps no name is more synonymous with these recording devices than Blue Microphones. The company, that's best known for its popular Yeti and Snowball modes, in addition to a line of pro-level studio mics, is introducing its first new product since it was purchased by Logitech for $117 million last month. Meet the Yeti Nano. Earning its name from the company's best-selling USB microphone, the Yeti Nano is a more compact option that not only simplifies the onboard controls, but will save you a few dollars. At $100, the Yeti Nano is $30 less than the Yeti, but a lower investment doesn't mean sacrificing your sound. This new model is still designed for all your podcast, live stream, Skype call, and voiceover needs. Thanks to two condenser capsules, you can expect studio quality sound according to Blue. Indeed, the Yeti Nano supports 24-bit, 40 kHz recording to keep things sounding pristine. Of course, in addition to audio quality, the microphone also offers a quick and easy setup. Simply plug it in, select it as your input device, and you're ready to record. Blue has a knack for keeping things simple, and you shouldn't really expect that to change here. In addition to the smaller size, the onboard controls for the Yeti have been simplified on the Yeti Nano. Up front, the headphone monitoring volume knob and mute switch have been combined into a single multifunction dial. Turn it to adjust volume, press it to mute the microphone. There's still a visual indicator when the mic is hot. A ring around the knob will go green when it's active and changes to red when the device is muted. Round back, there's a button to select between two polar pattern modes. Yes, the original Yeti offers 4, but here you can choose between cardioid and omnidirectional options, depending on if you're recording solo or in a roundtable situation. There's no gain control on the Yeti Nano. However, with this new model, Blue is also debuting its Sherpa Audio app, and with that piece of software, you can adjust gains, levels, change the microphone pattern, and tweak sample rates. The app will only accommodate the Nano right now, but support for Blue's full line of USB microphones is on the way. Honestly, the lack of an onboard game control isn't really an issue for the author, and it most likely won't be for you either, but since that's an adjustment most people tend to make before hitting the record button. So yeah, best part about this is the Yeti Nano is available from all the retailers where you typically shop. Amazon, Best Buy, B&H, Fry Electronics, Newegg, and more. Microphone will eventually be available in four colors: Shadow Gray, Vivid Blue, Red Onyx, and Cubano Gold, but only the gray version is on shelves at the moment. I, for one, am actually quite interested in this. I am actually using a Yeti Snowball microphone right now. I've actually been a fan of Yeti for many, many years. I think it was my first investment all the way back, goodness, maybe 2009, 2010, I bought this microphone. So yeah, it's been with me around the block for quite a number of years now, and it's still serving its purpose quite well. But I'm glad to see that, well, now we have another option to look forward to in the Yeti Nano. So, is this a microphone that you'll be getting? Let us know. If not, well, something to keep in mind if you're looking for audio quality for any podcasting, audio, or live streaming needs. So, moving on. Apparently, Overwatch is announcing the Nano Cola Challenge, and if you apparently complete it, you can get a free D.Va skin. Yes, at the end of Overwatch's new Shooting Star cinematic, which I showed on this podcast last week, we briefly see a new D.Va skin. Now you can unlock the skin yourself with D.Va's Nano Cola Challenge. Starting today until September 10th, you will unlock special in-game rewards for playing Quick Play, Competitive, or Arena. For winning 3 games, you'll get 2 new sprays. For 6 wins, you'll get a new icon, and for 9 wins, you'll unlock the Nano Cola D.Va skin. Sadly, there's no Doritos or actual sodas available in this promotion. You'll just have to settle for a free skin and some goodies instead. And they decided to give us a splash here, which I might include in the show notes that you can find for this and all the other articles over at technewsgadget.net. It looks like 3 games total. You'll get these two. Now what's going on with the... Come on. Yes, scroll down. See, I love it when it's all loading and loading and loading. It doesn't really need to load anything. It doesn't need to load anything. There you go. Win 3 games, win 6 games, win 9 games, you get the skin. I happen to play D.Va fairly often, so this is probably something I'll opt for getting quite soon. And I probably won't have a problem obtaining it at all. I just blow up stuff with D.Va and then push people off buildings. That's typically how I roll. So, moving on, for you Xbox fans, Bad North is now available on Xbox One. Bad North is a, how it's defined here, a real-time tactics roguelite. It's a, minimalistic real-time tactics roguelite where you defend a series of small islands from hordes of Viking invaders. That genre description is a bit of a mouthful, so let's break it down and explain what the game really is. The core gameplay is real-time tactics, which, in Bad North, is a mashup of real-time strategy, turn-based tactics, and tower defense. You defend small, charming islands and the houses on them against wave after wave of Vikings using just a handful of adorable soldiers. Your squads start off as a basic militia, but you can specialize and upgrade them using the rewards from each successful island defense. As the Vikings send increasingly tougher and more varied enemies, you'll need to take full advantage of all your squad's abilities and synergies between them to repel the invasion. Make use of the unique shape of each island is also key, like positioning your squad to control choke points and restrict your enemies for victory. As a roguelike, these core mechanics are wrapped up in a procedurally generated campaign. Each island, the progression through the islands, and even your squad commanders are unique to each playthrough. You'll need to learn to adapt and react to whatever islands you discover, and you won't find any walkthroughs for a particularly tough island. Additionally, although your squads can survive the death of individual soldiers, if the squad commander dies, that squad is lost forever, along with any upgrades they have. The minimalism is at the heart of everything in Bad North, from the design to the art style to the controls. You won't be bombarded with UI stats or explicit rules to learn. All of this information is communicated through gameplay itself. Character behaviors, animations, and sound effects show everything you'll need to know about the battle as it takes place. Over time, you'll learn to understand your soldiers, seeing as how they behave in different situations, and build your tactics accordingly. This feeling out mechanic makes it easy and intuitive to get started with Bad North, but hides a deep, strategic challenge for veterans to sink their teeth into. And we're looking at a couple images here. Very simple. Pretty interesting. Each island takes 5 to 10 minutes to complete. The game is perfect to drop in for quick sessions, but you'll often find yourself losing track of time as you dive back to the next island with some newly upgraded troops, ready to soak the ground red with the blood of your enemies. But it seems at first a cute, simple puzzle quickly becomes a challenging and dynamic simulation, and you'll have to be smart about when, where, and how you engage your foes. So, I think they have a video here. Get this video loaded. Seems to be a Xbox One exclusive. Interesting to play, if that strategy kind of game tickles your fancy, as it will. I saw it. I figured it looked kind of neat. I don't have an Xbox, so I'm kind of suffering here, guys. I just have a PlayStation and a PC. So I can't play all this cool, fun stuff that you guys do, right? So, moving on to our final tech news of the day. Overwatch apparently pulls loot boxes in Belgium after they were declared gambling. I love hearing about news like this. So, apparently, the Belgian Gaming Commission has been pressuring Blizzard to remove these loot boxes in Overwatch due to a report that apparently loot boxes are considered gambling. Blizzard obviously disagreed with the decision, though they are complying with the findings and the option to purchase loot boxes will be removed soon. Belgian Overwatch players will still be able to unlock loot boxes through gameplay. And we know how often loot boxes are dropped, right? We're probably going to see more Belgian players hopping into arcade mode just to max out the amount of loot box they can get. Apparently, hey guys, let me know, is this something you agree with or not? You can post in a chat. Hit me up on Twitter, at TechNewsGadget. I don't know, this is an interesting controversy that's kind of been broiling around. Here in the United States, currently we're fighting between loot boxes being considered pay to win as compared to just cosmetic upgrades or rare cards or stats for some characters, but really not so much a pay to win option. But apparently in other countries, some people find it very offensive to the point of gambling, and while saying that, you know, it's a gambling and you pay money and you gamble and you don't even get anything good. It's cosmetic upgrade. Yes, I'm paying to win in Overwatch. That's why I spent $5 on a loot box, because I just wanted a better skin to look cooler with. The percent chance of me getting actual skin is fine-ish. I think I'll live. This will turn into a mini rant, and I'm sure Octavius will probably get in on it too if he so desires. The loot boxes in gaming have caused controversy since their introduction, since they operate similar to a slot machine and are available to players of all ages. The Belgian Commission suggests regulations on games that include the boxes instead of their outright removal. According to games industry, the suggestions included age verification for currency purchases in stores and online, a ban from minors playing games with loot boxes, and a certified label that would alert customers if a game features these mechanics. One of the more important suggestions involving publishing the drop rate of loot boxes, any algorithm used to determine a random items must be visible to authorities. This regulation would be similar to slot machines in the US, where casino operators follow a law that dictate how often their machines pay out. Blizzard was forced to publish their drop rates to continue selling loot boxes in China and South Korea, though the rates apply for those regions only. They claim the rates are universal in all regions, but that is not verified by a neutral party. Here's apparently Blizzard's full statement. In April 2018, the Belgian Gaming Commission published a report that was endorsed by the Belgian Ministry of Justice, in which it concluded that paid loot boxes in Overwatch are considered gambling under local law. While we at Blizzard were surprised by this conclusion and do not share the same opinion, we have decided to comply with their interpretation of Belgian law. As a result, we have no choice but to implement measures that will prevent Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm players located in Belgium from purchasing in-game loot boxes and loot chests with real money and gems. No matter what, we want to make sure our players around the world have the best entertainment experience possible. While players in Belgium will no longer be able to purchase paid loot boxes in Overwatch and loot chests in Heroes of the Storm, they'll still be able to earn them by playing the games, and they'll still have access to all in-game content. These measures will be implemented shortly. We also remain open to further discussions with the Belgian Gaming Commission and Ministry of Justice on this topic. So there you go. There you go. That's all the latest tech news for today. I swear. You know, the best person I ever heard rant recently on this subject was Angry Joe Show, where Joe went on a huge tirade ripping, I think it was EA Games and a couple other actual pay-to-win games that had these weird loot box mechanics that you could get better stats and better heroes and better characters that would actually win the game for you, because random chance, and if you paid more money, you'd win, and you'd have better characters than everybody else. He had a pretty good rant about all that. I know many people have very differing opinions. My opinion is still kind of semi-forming on this whole entire subject, but I think you might know where some of my tendencies lie already. I come from League of Legends gaming, so really when it comes to paying for skins, I don't really... It's just a stupid cosmetic upgrade. I'm not... If it's a specific skin that I want, I'll fork over a little bit money for it, just because I want it, because I like it and it looks cool, or the rarity of it, or, well, I already knew with loot boxes that it's a random chance generated anyways of me getting something that I want. I'm not really picky when it comes to loot boxes, they're variable in and of itself, but we'll see. You guys may have differing opinions. If so, let me know in the chat. Going on right now over at mixer.com/technewsgadget, or let me know on Twitter. We are at technewsgadget. You can, I don't know, have your rant as long or short as you want it to. Apparently Twitter has increased their character limit, so you can rant a little bit longer if you deem necessary. So I think with that being said, that wraps up all of the tech news for today. This has been the latest episode of the Latest in Tech News podcast. After the show, we'll be doing some video games and hanging out with the rest of the community. If you want to join us, mixer.com/technewsgadget is the place to be. I am your host, Taylor Merrick. This show is a production of Tech News Gadget. For the latest in tech, gadgets, and gaming news, head on over to technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.